Good morning, Harmony. Welcome. Welcome to our acoustic worship service. We do this every fourth Sunday. Gives you a chance to have a more introspective and reflective time of worship. So if you'd like to stand, you're more than welcome to, or you can stay seated. You can sing along or listen to the words. Whatever you want to do to be centered in this moment.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He, and together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He, and together we sing. Everyone sing.
Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. It's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. And holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God. Count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. And yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. And yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. No, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy and all my days. Yes, I choose to praise, to glorify the name of all names. Then nothing can stand against. I choose to praise, to glorify the name of all names. Then nothing can stand against. I choose to praise, to glorify the name of all names. Then nothing can stand against, and I choose to praise, to glorify the name of all names. Then nothing can stand against, and yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. No, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Yes, I will in all my days. Yes, I will in all my days. And yes, I will.
Wherever you are in your life right now, this song simply just says, come, Lord Jesus, come. Because even in our happiness and in our sadness, we always need him right beside us. So if you are thirsty for that, I ask you to join in and sing this with me.
All who dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy as deep cries out to deep. We say,
position of prayer is. And let's just take a moment to silently tell the Lord what is on our hearts. And not be afraid to ask for what it is that we want and what we need. Because God is there for you. So let's just take a minute and have this silent time with God.
Grander earth has shaked before, moved by the sound of His voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. And through it all, with me. For be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see. And this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. And through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, it is well.
It is well. Indeed, it is well with our soul. Amen. What a blessing it is that we've gathered here together as a faith community to express our love for the Lord and to acknowledge our Creator's unconditional affirming love for each of us. And that's an amazing blessing, right? And to be loved without condition. And in that freeing love, it allows us to explore and experience this gift of life that has been given to us. And so this is to gain understanding in the language of love. Last week, the first part of a three-part sermon series, we placed focus on shame in regard to love, how it weaves its way of indignity into our lives, trying to negatively define us, to shame us, so that we fear who we've been called to be, that we fear to live in love and fully live in love who we've been created to be. We hide from ourselves, we hide from others, but sadly, we also hide from God. As I stated at the end of last week's sermon, I want this part of your life to be free from fear and shame. I want you to be true to who you are, to be joy-filled and fulfilled. So today we're going to continue to talk about the language of love in being unashamed. Now, I want to make it clear that today I'm going to place emphasis in this morning's message for those that are in the LGBTQI+ community, but I also want you to understand, and I promise that all of us are going to benefit in what I have to share. And with that, I humbly ask us to open up our hearts and our minds and listen to the scripture reading that's going to come from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. And the translation is from the Common English Bible, and I'm going to invite Tom Simmons to come forward to share these vitally important words written by the Apostle Paul. Again, Romans 8, 31 through 39.
So what are we going to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He didn't spare his own son, but he gave him up for us all. Won't he also freely give us all things with him? Who will bring a charge against God's elect people? It is God who acquits them. Who is going to convict them? It is Christ Jesus who died, even more, who was raised, and who also is at God's right side. It is Christ Jesus who also pleads his case for us. Who will separate us from Christ's love? Will we be separated by trouble, or distress, or harassment, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, we are being put to death all day long for your sake. We are treated like sheep for slaughter. But in all these things, we win a sweeping victory through the one who loved us. I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not death or life, not angels or rulers, not present things or future things, not powers or height or depth or any other thing that is created.
Thank you, Tom. May the divine creator who affirmingly loves each and every one of us bless this reading to our hearing and understanding. Amen. How very easy it is to be against someone, to bring a charge against them, to condemn and pronounce damning judgment just because. Because we've been wronged, or we feel we've been wronged, or just because those on the margins who don't follow strict guidelines as determined by typically the controlling white male hierarchy and which have been passed along to the fear-driven followers for way too long, that those on the margins deserve a hellish fate due to not living by the resolute norm. They should be separated from God's love because they've chosen to separate themselves. So they've been told. I mentioned this incident a couple of Sundays ago, the violence committed against these two women, Melania and Chris, who are in a same-sex relationship. the senseless violence committed against them by five teenagers when they were traveling on a London bus. And that's an example of this damning, this judgment, this devastating capacity to separate. And this isn't just a one-off incident, my friends. It's constantly happening against those on the margins, those who are considered different, our friends who are people of color, our friends who are LGBTQIA, our friends who are women, our friends who are physically challenged. Here's where these individuals being forcibly squeezed in vice grips, they often try to hide who they are, feeling and believing, I am something wrong. Can you imagine that? Unfortunately, I think many of you can and have felt that way. In verses 38 and 39 from Romans chapter 8, coming from the hand of the Apostle Paul, you heard these words, I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not death or life, nor angels or rulers, not present things or future things, not powers or height or depth or any other thing that is created. And yet, how it is that Christians, and yeah, I'm specifically calling out our faith communities, that they are wholly convinced otherwise. Is it because of verse 34? Because this is where it states and it is asked, who's going to convict us? Judgment from upon high. Because this is where it states, it is Christ Jesus who died, even more who was raised and who is at God's right side. Here's the judge of all, Jesus Christ. He's the one who has the right to condemn. And here's where we might be considering that the Lord of love is actually more so the Lord of holy terror. However, let's not overlook the last statement that's made in verse 34. It is Christ Jesus who also pleads our case for us. And as one of the several biblical commentators whose works I read, and in this instance it comes from the late William Barclay, he writes, it is as if Paul said, you think of Jesus as the judge who is there to condemn. And well, he might, for he has won the right, but you're wrong. He's not there to be our prosecuting counsel, but to be the advocate to plead our cause. And you know what? There is a whole boatload of people out there who seem bent on separating you, separating me, separating all of us from God's love. Well, guess what? The love of God outlasts and defeats all enemies, including death itself. And what the people of this world need to start doing, and that's the whole of this world, is seeing people as God sees them, as they've been created, as we are already. It reminds me of what Rob Bell wrote in his book, Sex God, and it ties into this last week's scripture passage when we focused on Adam and Eve. The writer of Genesis makes it clear that in all of creation there is something different about humans. They aren't God, and they aren't going to become God, but in some distinct, intentional way, something of God has been placed in them. We reflect what God is like and who God is. A divine spark resides in every single human being. I'm going to repeat that. We reflect what God is like and who God is. A divine spark resides in every single human being. No matter how much we may want to try, due to the pressure felt by others, by society and family, by ourselves, and the hurts that are being experienced, as Rob says, denying and repressing and stuffing that never work, because it's a failure to acknowledge of what is central to being a human being. We've got to learn to be unashamed of who we are, the body we've been given, the life we live, for as long as we struggle with the life we've been given, the gift of who we've been created to be, we fail to truly have a healthy, thriving connection with our Maker. Instead, our connection with the Eternal Father, Mother God, is going to be this constant, tiring struggle in which we feel like unmitigated failures rather than being the bright, shining lights that we are. And honestly, and I've had to own this myself through years, if you can't come to terms with who you are and the life you've been given, you're never going to be able to accept others and how they were made and the lives they've been given. Now, everything I've just said is for all of us. And that includes those teenagers who committed that heinous, uncalled for beating of those two innocent ladies, young ladies, just because they are different. You know, there's something that's within those boys which has been stuffed and repressed and denied. They haven't come to terms with because they don't see the lights in the lives of others. Their anger, their hatred is causing their own separation from God's love. And I pray, and may they come to realize otherwise, I want to state this very clearly. For what and for whom God claims to love, do not deem unworthy of that love. But I have to tell you, that's not easy. That's not easy at all on either side of the street. When I was at college, this goes back to 1978, the fall of 1978, this is when I had my first introduction to a person who identified themselves as queer. The word gay wasn't in the context. It was queer. Well, I didn't have a clue what that meant. I didn't. And when I was told what it meant, well, I became deeply concerned for my friend. Now, you may be thinking my deep concern was, well, you know, there's judgment coming. No, that wasn't what this was. Because while I was, I got to admit, I was confused by what he was telling me. I was more so confused by what he was sharing, that being queer condemned him and his soul to hell for eternity. That's what he said. The church says, it's in the Bible, and I've been told to change my ways or else. And I remember, that is distinctly a memory that I won't forget. I remember it was in the fall of October 1978. I was on the concrete stoops of Baker Hall, the dormitory, listening to my friends speak to me. And that was that point that began my evolving, expanding spiritual faith journey of what full inclusion means. Cut to a few years later, soon after college graduation, my gay friend committed suicide. And that wouldn't be the first friend that would attempt to do that. In my friend's lifelong struggle, he was unable to reconcile being who he was created to be against the church's judgment, who they said God was judging, condemning. And I have to be straight up and tell you, I felt enormous, intense anger against the church institution and Christians in general. And my heart grieved. But here's where I made a decision. It was at that point when I learned of my friend's death, and as I'm grieving and going through this process, I decided at that juncture I can no longer sit on the sidelines. While I hung out with my gay friends, what I didn't know was having a deeper understanding of them as humans, their experience. And so it is then that I decided to join a suicide hotline for those in that identified group. And while I was somewhat viewed as a zebra in a room full of fabulous unicorns, and by the way, they loved this zebra just as he is, here is where my heart and my mind were opened as I closely listened to the amount of pain that humanity was going through, and that's specifically the LGBTQI community. And when anyone on the other line of that phone was speaking of God and church hurt, whenever it was appropriate, and I felt led to do so, I shared the divine creator's unconditional affirming love for them, letting them know that they aren't alone. I just wish my friend could have hung in there longer to not feel alone and separated from God's love, to feel and live unashamed. As Amber Contorna writes in her powerful, embracing book, Unashamed, if you identify as part of the LGBTQIA community, it's impossible to completely escape homophobia. It permeates our culture, our church pews, our political party lines, our work policies, and our daily lives. And as she says, there's internalized homophobia, too, when you feel you're not good enough, that you're unlovable, that you're unacceptable in the eyes of God. And you know what? We might as well just throw transphobia in there as well. Too often, many LGBTQI people, those who are out or they're not out, they take the key that is to their hearts and they put the key into their chamber, heart chamber, and they lock it. Because rather than being hurt, they feel it's easier to hide, better to not be seen, better to be seen as part of the norm determined as being the way you should be. And sadly, that key remains right there in the chamber. And what happens to the heart? It starts to suffocate. That heart begins to die out of fear. And by the way, that's not just LGBTQI people. If you in any instance feel unacceptable because of this or that, isn't it time to just let go of it? To release that fear, to willingly open the door and give ourselves the gift of self-acceptance? To give ourselves the gift of self-worth and love and hope and belonging and value to blossom into who we were meant to be? That God loves us? And I want you to notice that's a statement. God loves us. God loves you. And I say that straightforwardly because, as Amber reminds us in her book, with God there is no but after I love you. Some examples that she mentions in her book are, I love you, but I don't support your marriage. I love you, but if you ever get married, your spouse is never going to be allowed into the house under our roof. I love you, but this is against what the Bible teaches, and I have to stay true to the Bible. I love you, but you know that supporting your LGBTQI child is a sin. Bluntly, someone can take all those buts and they can give it over to God. Don't you think? Because all these buts are harmful and hurtful. They are, as I said last week, smack dab in the book of bad theology. Well, isn't it time that we took that particular book of bad theology and just lock it up and throw it away rather than it being in, hurting someone's heart? Maybe your heart? I get it. I truly do. With the butt club. We talk about fear. But you know the ones who are actually throwing butts here, there, and everywhere? They're the ones who are actually afraid. They're afraid of God. The belief system, you see, the belief system in which they, in which their embedded theology has come is founded on fear. It's founded on fear, and they're actually afraid of how they're going to be viewed by others if they support you. They're afraid of losing their own jobs. They're afraid that God will condemn them. They're afraid of losing you. They have some work to do. And guess what? Like it or not, so do we. Shine the light on ourselves, certainly, but most definitely, we have some work to do as the church. Because we, the church, can't sit on the sidelines. We need to bring forth critical thinking to and within the faith communities rather than having our spiritual leaders lead us like sheep, operating from a strict black and white only standard. We need to question church doctrine and not back away when we're told just because after we've asked why. It's time for our churches to look at Scripture through the lens of historical and cultural context, which I do with you. And the Big C Church needs to not use misleading words such as all are welcome, when in actuality all are not welcome, unless you consider a welcome that comes with conditions. And that's bad messaging, deceptive, and just deepening the already existing wounds and felt pain. We, the church, we, those in the faith community, must be there for each other. We consistently talk about how we love one another as God loves us, that we, in turn, we love ourselves as God loves us, yet church, within that language of love, we must be genuine with our lives. Be who we are. Be who we've been created to be. And let our lights shine unashamedly. So why in the world are we waiting on the approval of others just so we can somewhat come around to believing Jesus loves me, this I know? Why must we be so caught up in this feeling of dependency for others' consent, others' authorization, when it comes to who you or I love? That because, because when they say it, well, you know, that's when I know God accepts me. Well, isn't it time that you found love and total acceptance just as you are, just like God loves and accepts you? Because I'm here to tell you, you've got nothing to prove so that others justify your existence. You've got nothing to prove to those who question your sexual or gender identity. With a shout out to Amber for her rephrasing of Romans 8:38-39, I want to share what she wrote. For I am convinced that neither hate speech nor homophobic comments, neither rejection nor discrimination, neither depression nor anxiety, nor self-harm nor suicidal ideations, neither whom you love nor your gender identity nor anything else that you fear or that others say about you in the name of God will ever be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My friends, the language of God's love tells us that we are worthy of love, that we are worthy of belonging, that nothing will ever separate us from the love of God. So let us live. Let us live in the joy of our createdness. Let us treat ourselves as if we are holy, because, my friends, we are. And with that, let's live unashamedly. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Living Spirit, who loves us beyond the measures of what we know and probably can even imagine, thank you. Thank you so much for your amazing and affirming love. Help us to grow in the understanding of your language of love, being unashamed of who we are and who you've created us to be. Help us each and every day. whenever we feel separation in our lives and wherever that may be, help us. May your divine presence give us a true sense of peace, especially in knowing your love in Christ Jesus. Help us. Help us to see people as you see them, each of us worthy of your love. Embolden us with ways in which we can make a difference in this broken and hurting world, in which we don't stay on the sidelines of life. And may we take your word and your love in our hearts and in our minds, well knowing nothing will ever separate us from you. Amen.
Why don't you stand and pass the peace of Christ with your neighbor before we sing this last song together?
Sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. Oh, I feel like dancing. It's foolishness, I know. But when the world has seen the light, they will dance with joy. Sing of your love forever. I can 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 sing of your love forever.
Peace.